We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 9:30 in 716.
The child victims filing window is now open.
Yes, there are priests in the Diocese of Buffalo with allegations against them who are continuing to serve.
I know every priest is not a pedophile, but where are they? Their silence is only protecting the bishop and protecting everything that's going on.
This is not what my church stands for. This is not the church I believe in. I believe in Christ and his teachings. And it so deeply disturbed me to see what was going on inside the chancery.
An emotional and a powerful day for sure. Historic, too. I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716. The filing window resulting from the New York Child Victims Act opened, and dozens of suits have already been filed against the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo and thousands across New York State against other dioceses, schools, and institutions. It is indeed a tipping point, and it is also overwhelming the state's court system. Multiple voices to hear from on the podcast today, and we'll begin with the newest development as it was disclosed on WBEN Wednesday morning.
I think surprisingly to some folks.
Abuse survivor and advocate James Faluzek telling us about five additional suits that will be filed soon, two involving deceased members of the clergy in Buffalo, and two suits to be filed against two current members of the Diocese of Buffalo.
We are prepared to file against Father Paul Nagaro, who is living and currently serving at St. Stephen's Church in Grand Island, New York. He is alleged to have sexually molested our client while that client was a student at St. Mary's of Sorrows Church. Perhaps shockingly, because Father Peter Popadick was the long-serving secretary to Bishop Edward Head. He is living and currently serving at St. Aloysius Gonzaga Parish in Buffalo. And in our filing, we are alleging that he sexually molested our client while he was a freshman at Bishop Fallon High School. And fifth, still living but no longer in ministry, is Franklin J. Tuckles, who over multiple years is alleged to have sexually molested our client, beginning again at St. Mary of Sorrows Church, but extending to multiple locations, including what was then St. John Vianney Seminary, now Christ the King Seminary, in various churches and private residences. And so while we go to some form of trial and seek discovery of these matters, our information and belief up to this point suggests that yes, there are priests in the Diocese of Buffalo with allegations against them who are continuing to serve.
Are these allegations that you just mentioned something that you believe the diocese would have been aware of?
I can't speak to that for a couple of reasons, but I think in all of these cases, as I said, a year ago today, they released the grand jury report in Pennsylvania. And if you bracket out what Father Martin did to me, or the couple of other priests who tried to groom me and also abuse me, if you factor that out of my testimony, I still gave the Attorney General of Pennsylvania the names of over 100 witnesses, perpetrators, people who could attest to the testimony that I was offering. That was all information that I knew as a rank and file priest. Father Peter Popadick, having been so close to Bishop Head, who the revelations there of cover-up are extensive and well-known now, he was not a rank-and-file priest. He was a chancery secretary. And I think most priests are aware of their brothers in ministry who have engaged in either some form of extracurricular activity outside of their vows, which sometimes has given cover to this criminal activity that now we're seeking to redress as a result of the Child Victims Act.
what is the where does this stand right now with these five? Are you filing a suit against the diocese over these five, or are you just naming them? Where does that stand?
Well, we are in the process of filing. That process began at 12:01 today, as we all know. And while we're not doing everything in a single batch, everything that I've just spoken to you is part of this filing. And we are going to go to the mat to defend the needs of our clients as they seek to get more information and bring more about these priests to light, so that perhaps other victims who are sitting by themselves in their suffering for decades at a time, perhaps, may now have the courage to finally speak up that these men in power have finally been named.
At the stroke of midnight, the suits began to be filed.
It really is amazing to be able to meet the people who belong to the names I saw in the secret archives.
Lights blazing inside the law offices of Steve Boyd, where diocesan whistleblower Siobhan O'Connor was there to witness history as suit after suit was electronically filed.
And they were never just names to me. I knew that those were people, those were lives. And they truly are my heroes. They did inspire me, because I thought, this is not what my church stands for. This is not the church I believe in. I believe in Christ and his teachings. And it so deeply disturbed me to see what was going on inside the chancery. There was an emphasis on the financial and legal preparations, but there was no thought given to those who have already suffered so greatly. And I thought, if there's anything I can do to alleviate that suffering in any way, to validate them, to give them a voice, I wanted to do that. And I've never once regretted it. And I want to thank them for their courage and their resiliency. This is a victory, but it is a victory predicated on a tragedy. Many, many personal tragedies, the tragedies of families, of lives lost. There are many survivors who are not with us today. And I'd like to remember them. And for all of the family members who also suffer with these brave survivors, I hope that this will be a time when they might feel, again, some validation, some measure of justice. They deserve all they can receive, and that they might know that they are not alone. For so long they were alone, but now that more people know what they've gone through, I hope they will feel our support. Thank you to Steve and Stacy and to all those who do support them, like Judith and other advocates. Thank you to you, the media, for keeping this story in the spotlight. It really needs to be. And I would also ask now if I could please publicly urge Bishop Malone not to file for bankruptcy. Don't do that to escape discovery. There's going to be discovery in the life to come. It would be better for you if it has begun in this life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before the filing window opened, it was an emotional scene at many law firms across New York State as victims of alleged abuse were anticipating their filings.
My journey started a long time ago in Steve Boyd, 1994, did a story for myself.
And inside the offices of Steve Boyd's firm in Williamsville, the survivors said their piece.
And it was because Bishop Head came out and called us all faceless, nameless people. And that day it snapped. I had to come forward and tell my story to try to protect other children from going through this. And I'm really grateful to have this opportunity. And just because we all stand here together, you don't have a clue what we all went through. Not just the abuse, but the destruction that we may have caused to our families. And you all have to think about that when you look at this big story. Thank you, and send it all back to you.
Okay? Thank you, Chris. Mike Whalen, if you could step forward, Mike.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I didn't realize that stepping forward last year would cause all of this. This broke open, and it's huge. And I'm thankful that I was able to have the courage to come forward and do this to help so many people, so many survivors, voices that haven't been heard, and so many out there that still haven't been heard. And I'm just thankful to be here and to have Steve and everybody around here to really help me go forward with this. It's been a long time in the making, 40 years for me, so thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
Kevin Caselli.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate it, and thank you to the press for being here and caring enough to listen to us. What Michael did, what Siobhan did, what I'm in awe of everyone that's up here, because we have a story to tell, and what was done to us is so wrong. I lived by one thing. When I came out 3 years ago and finally told my wife, and nobody ever knew, I buried it for over 40 years. My parents, who are no longer here, never knew at all. My friends didn't know. You know, we learned to cope with what happened to us and fool the world. We became master manipulators and liars, and nobody ever knew what was going on, because we were good at saying, oh yeah, we're okay. We're just, you know, I don't talk much. I'm just quiet. But after burying it and coming forward now and having an understanding, and this is what was said, you don't understand the symptoms that we go through. The abuse was just one small part of it, and I'm not diminishing it at all, but it's what happens to us afterwards. The ancillary damage that is done to our family, friends, coworkers, everyone that's out there. The connections that we never made because we don't know how to connect with people. We don't want relationships. We want to live in isolation. We've missed opportunities. I'm not going to allow that to happen anymore. None of us are. We finally have our day. I live by one thing now. 3 years ago, I said to myself, I'm always going to ask myself one question: what is the right thing to do? The right thing to do for all of us is to come forward and see this through. You know, where's the bishop? Where are the priests? Where are all the other good priests, quote unquote, that are out there? I know every priest is not a pedophile, but where are they? Their silence is only protecting the bishop and protecting everything that's going on. So they're just as much to blame. They can't go up there every single Sunday and preach how to be moral and truthful and do the right thing to everyone and then yet support that institution and not do a darn thing. Come on, I'm not gonna let that happen anymore. I'm doing this, yes, for me, but I'm also don't want this to happen to any other children out there. And that's why this is super important, to continue to fight this cause and fight what's right and do the right thing. If you ask yourself, what is the right thing to do? It isn't about being quiet. It's not about covering up and protecting. You can't answer that question unless you do the right thing and come forward and make a change. That's what we're all gonna be doing here.
In-depth coverage of the filings is at WBEN.com, and we'll continue to cover the flurry of legal activity stemming from the Child Victims Act as the window remains open for an entire year.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.